This is OPP. I'm Jeff Norcross. Gun control was among the many issues that helped the Democrats win sweeping victories in the 2018 midterm elections. But with the threat of right-wing violence on the rise, some activists on the left are taking a page out of the 1960s civil rights movement, armed self-defense. Guns in America's Jonathan Levinson reports.
Scourge Women's March 2019. Let's hear it!
Ross Elliott is bringing up the trail of about 250 women's marchers in the Dalles, a small town 90 minutes east of Portland. He's lagging back, looking over his shoulder for anyone who might attack the group.
And then maybe they give you the finger the first time, and then maybe they circle around and next time might want to throw a bottle or something.
Elliott is also armed. Tucked under his army green jacket is a Springfield Armory XDS 9mm handgun. He's here to help with security for the march. Elliott has been a leftist activist in the Pacific Northwest and proponent of armed self-defense since the 1990s.
It was just sort of the standard procedure that you should know about labor history, you should know about, like, working class issues, and it would be expected that you would also know how to use a rifle.
At demonstrations like the Women's March, he says spontaneous violence is a serious concern. He points to the white supremacist who stabbed two men on a Portland train in 2017, and the neo-Nazi who killed someone when he drove his car into a crowd of protesters in Charlottesville.
And there's been a lot of people on the far right talking about carrying out attacks like that. So it's something that you absolutely want to be on the lookout for.
Rosie Strange has been on the receiving end of those threats. She's an activist here in the Dalles. Last summer, Strange was eating breakfast at a popular pancake joint in town.
I see the jail administrator, Brian Brandenburg, who I know through the work that I've been doing.
Brandenburg ran a regional jail in the Dalles, which houses ICE detainees. Critics say that violates the state's sanctuary law. Strange brought an anti-ICE sign into the diner, and later, the local sheriff responded by posting her photo on Facebook, saying her actions were disgusting. The vitriol came pouring in. She received hundreds of threats and attacks in the comments.
Including that I should have been shot in front of my children.
Sherman County Sheriff Brad Lowry told OPB he would take the post down if Strange apologizes to Brandenburg.
I feel that I can never, ever call the sheriffs again in this region.
So she got a gun. Strange says she knows the statistics that say her gun is more likely to be used against her than to protect her. But she says those statistics lack nuance.
They're still not able to cover that gap. For people like me, women of color, activists.
Relying on police to protect you, she says, that's a privilege.
I refuse to wait for a police officer to get to make the decision of how dangerous my white assailant is.
There's an old trope in gun control circles that if you're being robbed, instead of playing the hero with a gun, it's much safer to simply cooperate. Give them what they want. It's a sentiment Fordham Law professor Nicholas Johnson never understood.
Well, what if they want you dead?
Johnson is an expert in firearms law and wrote Negroes and the Gun, a book on the history of armed self-defense in the black community. He says the civil rights movement is full of examples. In a 1964 interview, Malcolm X said,
In the face of the brutality that our people encounter, it's not unjust to teach a Negro to have a shotgun or a rifle in his house.
It wasn't just Malcolm X. After the 1906 Atlanta race riots, W.E.B. Du Bois patrolled his home with a shotgun. And civil rights activist Hartman Turnbow.
You know, he also used a 15-shot semi-automatic rifle in defense of his home that was firebombed.
Johnson says almost every episode in the civil rights movement has some aspect of this story to it. He says it makes sense that people who feel they are represented by the existing power structure will feel safe entrusting their security to that system.
But if you think the state's going to fail, then I would expect those people to think, oh, private self-defense may be a value for me.
Okay, no, there's a round in the chamber.
Despite a social stigma on the left, the tradition of armed self-defense is alive and well. At the Portland chapter of the Liberal Gun Club's Winter Range Day, L.A. Watson Haley is firing a massive .44 Magnum revolver. Today, he's wearing a kilt and a new T-shirt.
Armed queers don't get bashed.
But he doesn't only carry a firearm to protect himself. Watson Haley says there are three groups of people in society.
Wolves, sheep, and sheepdogs. I'm a sheepdog. I'd rather be there to at least try, because there's way too many wolves in this world and way too many sheep.
He says he'll stand in the middle if he has to. For Guns in America, I'm Jonathan Levinson.
Guns in America is a public media reporting project on the role of guns in American life. Find more at gunsinamerica.org.